bicycle, bicycle, bicycle. I want to ride my bicycle, bicycle, bicycle. From the studios of WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, this is Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. The Cross City Trail in Wilmington is nearing completion. The multi-use trail allows cyclists and pedestrians access to important recreational and cultural landmarks, and city officials say they eventually see Wilmington area greenways as part of the East Coast Greenway, described as an urban Appalachian trail, in this case, spanning Maine to Florida. But some new arrivals to the region complain that Wilmington is anything but bicycle-friendly. In the 10 years from 1997 to 2007, New Hanover County had the fourth highest number of bicycle-involved crashes out of all 100 counties in the state. Today, we'll find out what projects are underway for this area and the advocacy work for cyclists and pedestrians that's going on in Raleigh and locally. Joining us in studio today, Saraya Rashid is a senior transportation planner for the Wilmington Urban Area Metropolitan Planning Organization. Saraya Rashid, welcome to Coastline.
Thanks for having me.
Al Schrotel is the current advocacy chair with Cape Fear Cyclists, a Wilmington-based cycling group. He's also a past president of Cape Fear Cyclists. And on the state level, Mr. Schrotel is a board member of Bike Walk NC, a membership-based advocacy organization promoting non-motorized transportation. Mm-hmm. Al Schrotel, welcome to the program.
Like Saraya, I'm very happy to be here.
And we're inviting you to join the conversation. Do you bike locally? Do you struggle as a motorist dealing with cyclists on the road? What are the challenges here? Give us a call and tell us about it, 910-343-1138. You can also send your comments or questions to coastline@whqr.org or tweet us at coastlinehqr. And Saraya, we know there's a great deal, and we're going to learn more about this as the show goes on, but there's a lot of bicycle-friendly movement at various government levels, locally and at the state level. But newbies to the area do complain that it's not all that cyclist-friendly here. One transplant told me recently that he used to bike to work in California, and he wouldn't even consider that here because of safety concerns. So what's the divergence between what is today and the projects that are underway?
Well, I'll tell you, we hear a lot from the public that there's a need for additional facilities and for retrofitting our existing system. And on the staff level, we hear it. Our elected leaders hear it, and they support it, which is really what the good news is. And we know that there's a gap between where we are and where we need to be or want to be as a community in terms of facilities and just accommodation of cyclists. And there's a number of things that we're doing to try to meet that gap. Our elected leaders and the public, for that matter, have supported additional funding towards bicycle and pedestrian facilities. So while you'll see some facilities now, you'll see in 5 years, you'll see a much, much larger number. And then even just immediately, our WMPO Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee has put together a new bicycle map that will help newcomers navigate, or new cyclists navigate, what roadways are easy to bicycle on and which ones are more difficult. So hopefully that'll help people route how to use our existing facilities in an easier fashion.
Both of you have compared that new map, which I think we'll talk about a little more in a bit, to a ski map, like green for easy, or I'm not sure that that's the color code, but
right.
But it's a really user-friendly kind of map of the region that reaches beyond Wilmington. Al Schrotel, the state looked at bicycle crashes in the state from 2008 to 2012 and found this consistent upward trend, with the notable exception of 2009, and I'm not sure what happened in that year. And the most recent 5 years have averaged 4% more crashes than the first five of the last 10 years. Is this what you're seeing as a cyclist out on the roads yourself? How safe do you feel out on Wilmington area roads?
I feel, generally I feel very safe. There are some places that you just should not ride. I mean, if you're riding on Market Street, where all the automobile dealerships are, that's insane. truthfully. But there are a lot of safe places to ride. As far as the increase in accidents, one of the contributing factors, of course, is that there are more people out on bicycles. Mm-hmm. Another factor is that we have a college here. We have a university here. And there are a lot of university students commuting to and from classes. Some of the other areas that are where they measure the crashes and so on like that do not have a university with a large number of students commuting by bicycle. So I think there are other factors. You know, can it be better? We sure think so. And that's why our bicycle club has a whole organization devoted to safety training.
And you talked about Market Street as being a particularly unsafe place. We have an email from Shelley who says, I'm 65 and work full-time. I commute by bicycle daily along Market Street between Carr and Eastwood, which is not really safe for cyclists. There aren't any good parallel routes to Market Street. I'm wondering if there's anything in the works for a bike path that is safer. Doesn't seem like any of the cross-city bike paths have commuters in mind, just pleasure jaunts. I would also like to be able to ride out towards Ogden without fearing for my life or going miles out of my way on back roads. Thanks. Soraya, are there any bike paths in the works for that kind of a route?
You know, I'm thinking about this other initiative adopted by the state called the Complete Streets Initiative, Complete Streets Act, and the city of Wilmington actually also adopted a similar initiative that allows for us to incorporate bicycle and pedestrian accommodations with any new projects that we might have, even if they're not strictly bicycle or pedestrian projects. So if there's a roadway project, we have that opportunity. And we are working towards accommodating as much as feasible bicycles and cyclists and pedestrians along Market Street with a project that has just been programmed in the state's state transportation improvement program, is essentially their infrastructure budget. So we're working towards that right now along Market Street.
Yeah, if I could comment on that.
Absolutely, Al Schrotel.
The city, the county are very, very aware of that. And the Bicycle Club has been, through the WMPO, have worked closely with them. And we have done exactly what that woman was asking. We have looked very, very hard at, you know, right now before the infrastructure can be changed. Are there alternate routes? Is there kind of a parallel street that would be safe and so on like that? And I know we're going to talk later about the bike suitability map, but that's precisely what we did. We looked everywhere for alternatives.
Well, then let's bring that up right now, because I'm noticing a lot of questions are coming in kind of around where are the places that I can bike. We have an email from Greg who says, I'd heard that there was a plan at one point to put a walking cycling lane on the Cape Fear Memorial Bridge so pedestrians could safely get to the battleship. Is this still an option? And Soraya Rashid, you're shaking your head.
At this point, we don't have any funded improvements on to change the configuration of the lanes on Cape Fear Memorial Bridge. There are future projects that could allow for bicycle and pedestrian accommodation across the Cape Fear River, but as of now, they're unfunded. So we still have to get to that place.
Okay. And for people who aren't super familiar with the organization that you work for the city of Wilmington, but it's also, your organization is Wilmington Urban Area Metropolitan Planning Organization. How does that relate to the city of Wilmington, and how do these projects get funded?
Great. Well, the Wilmington Urban Area Metropolitan Planning Organization is a federally funded and federally mandated regional transportation planning organization. And the city of Wilmington is one of our 10 member jurisdictions. So we answer to our board is composed of elected officials from the city of Wilmington, the towns of Curie Beach, Carolina Beach, Wrightsville Beach, Leland, Belleville, Navassa, and New Hanover County, Brunswick County, and Pender County. So we answer to all their direction, and they meet monthly to decide particularly how federal funding should be spent in our region towards transportation initiatives and how we want the transportation network to look. Of course, there's a limited set of funds. It's the same problem everyone deals with. But they work together in a cooperative fashion to look to program funds in a way that best meets the mix of needs in our community.
And then once the local, the Wilmington Urban Area MPO has established its priorities, these projects are what we want to go for, how does it work with the state?
It's somewhat of a complicated process. Any project that is programmed for federal and state funding has to be in our local metropolitan transportation plan. Currently, we're in the process of adopting this, the latest version, which is called Cape Fear Transportation 2040. It has a significant amount of public input, and it's meant to reflect the needs and desires of the local community. But any project must be programmed in that plan, and from that, we send up our recommendations to the state, and the state evaluates all the projects based on data analysis, and they rank projects, and from that they decide how the funding will be allocated.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking with Soraya Rashid, who is a senior transportation planner with the Wilmington Urban Area Metropolitan Planning Organization. That's a mouthful. Thank goodness for acronyms. Also with us in studio today is Cape Fear Cyclist Club Advocacy Chair Al Schrotel. If you'd like to tell us about your experience either as a cyclist around the area or as a driver trying to deal with the presence of cyclists, give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can also email us at coastline@whqr.org or tweet us at coastlinehqr. And when we come back in 90 seconds, we'll read an email from Alex. This is Coastline. Welcome back to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn, and with me in the studio today, Soraya Rashid, Senior Transportation Planner for the Wilmington Urban Area Metropolitan Planning Organization, and Al Schrotel, Board Member of Bike Walk NC, a statewide advocacy group, and the local Cape Fear Cyclists. Today, we're talking about cycling in the region and sharing the road with other vehicles. If you have a question, now's a good time to give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can also email us at coastline@whqr.org or tweet us at coastlinehqr. And we have an email from Alex who says, I'm an avid biker in Wilmington and occasionally bike to and from work, weather permitting. Have a quick question, hope you can answer. What is your take on bike share programs, and is there a plan to implement one in Wilmington? Soraya Rashid.
Yeah. Actually, there has been a lot of talk about looking into the feasibility of a bike share program, and of course, something of that complex in nature, we'll need to do a study before we delve into it to make sure we're programming our resources in the most efficient manner. And actually, one of my former colleagues, Adrian Harrington, is now with UNCW, and I know that they are working towards a bike share feasibility study and looking towards that, and I'm sure she'll do a fantastic job with that. So it's upcoming.
Okay,
yes.
And for those not so avid cyclists, Al Schrotel, can you tell us what a bike sharing program is?
That is one sort of like Uber. You know, as you don't have to own a bike, but if you do own a bike, you can participate in the program. And so you pick up your bike in one place and ride it to another place, and then you'll leave it there.
And we have an email from Mike who says, and this is sort of an involved email, so I'll try to pick out the highlights here. Bike infrastructure is better by leaps and bounds than it was when I arrived in 94. However, Yeah. The continuity and comprehensiveness of the plan is still lacking. None of the multi-use paths are really very continuous, but still exist as segments. Even when connected, they will still exist as segments with many rather haphazardly achieved crossings. This is regrettable, but I understand that perhaps Wilmington was simply unable to plan in a comprehensive way. And he says most experienced cyclists are grateful for these paths and use them when commuting, but most cycling still takes place on the road. Soraya Rashid, we were talking about this a little bit earlier, and it's a little more complicated than just good planning. Can you explain what he's talking about here?
Yes, and I do want to address the planning piece for just a second, because that's what our organization does, and we work with our Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee, on which Al actually sits, to do planning to figure out how we can make it a more continuous system and one that doesn't have as many gaps and holes, and where we need to make our strategic investments. But it really is a matter of making strategic investments. And honestly, one of my favorite problems as a civil servant is when someone comes up to me and says, you know, why would you stop the trail there? Why would you stop the facilities there? You need to keep going. And that's exactly what we need to hear. And people are saying it. They're saying that to the elected leaders. The elected leaders are hearing it. They're programming funds to continue the trail. So if you're saying that, keep it up. Tell us where we need to fill in the gaps. Tell your elected leaders where we need to fill in the gaps. Support it. And we'll do our best to make it happen.
And Mike also writes about many large streets have the space for bike paths, but simply need the white line to accommodate bikes. And he says lighting is needed at many crossings. And he names specifically the Ann Street Boulevard crossing, Bike Route 1, and on the Cross City Trail. Are there plans for more lighting on the Cross City Trail?
It's something that we look at. If this person is referring to lighting of the trail itself, like we do street lighting, it's something that we're looking into. We're also working very hard to try to upgrade all the signals as appropriate with pedestrian signals. So the countdown signals are the person that tells you when to walk or not to walk. So it's something that we're looking into, definitely.
I heard from a staff member here earlier today about how, as a driver, it can be very frustrating, and as a pedestrian, it can be very frustrating to deal with cyclists. Al Schrotel, where are bicyclists legally allowed to go? Are there any roads in North Carolina where cyclists are limited or barred?
The unique thing about the state of North Carolina is that in law, a bicycle is recognized as a legal vehicle on all state roads, with the exception of the interstates. So there's really nowhere you can't go besides the interstate.
And that brings us to protocols and etiquette for
yes,
both bicyclists, drivers, and pedestrians. And the staff member was telling me he often sees scuff law behavior, bicyclists just blowing through red lights or stop signs. And he said he was walking across an intersection yesterday in downtown Wilmington and just about got run over by a cyclist. So what is there anything to be done on that front? Is that a lack of understanding, or is there just a sort of scuff law mentality in some sectors? Or how do you address that?
There is a lot of misunderstanding. Many motorists feel that cyclists don't belong on the road. They say, why don't they go on the sidewalk? Where, of course, they'd become a big hazard to pedestrians. Several years ago, Bethel Paris, who was the club president, and I, at that time, wrote an editorial in which we said it's a two-way street, and that the cyclists need to obey the laws. The cyclists need to realize that they can very easily impede the flow of traffic. And then, of course, the motorists have to recognize that they are legal vehicles on the road. While state law says that they are legal vehicles on the road, it also says to ride as far to the right as is safe and practicable, or something like that. In our club, in our club rides, we emphasize the need to recognize and be courteous to the rights of the motorists. And you know, and another thing we say, in addition to being courteous, be friendly. When a motorist gives you room, when a motorist stops, completely to, at a stop sign, you know, to let you go because you have the right of way, we wave and say thank you, and we try to encourage that kind of behavior.
In your travels around the area on a bike, do you think that most motorists understand that bicycles are entitled to the entire lane, even if they're as far right as they can possibly be? Do you think that's widely understood?
I think it's more well understood than many people would believe, but is it universally understood? No.
Soraya Rashid, you've been involved as part of the Wilmington Area MPO, Wilmington Urban Area MPO. I'm going to get that right before the end of the show, with some safety initiatives. Can you tell us about those?
The Wilmington MPO has been involved with both Watch for Me NC as a partner and was very involved with the See, Share, Be Aware campaign. And these were campaigns that focused on educating and really just educating all roadway users on safe use of the roadways or safe interaction in the roadway. So that can even involve pedestrians at crosswalks. And really our main focus as an organization is on funding, design, and construction of infrastructure. So this is something that we're involved in, but much more as a partner. And I think there's some limited success with these safety campaigns, and I really believe that the absolute best advertisement, as Al mentioned, is really getting people out there cycling, being active pedestrians, but doing it safely, demonstrating how to do it safely, being courteous, as Al mentioned. I think that's huge, smiling, and then telling others about it. I think that is really the best advocacy program we can have, is to have more people out there.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about cycling in the Cape Fear region. What are the challenges, and how has the area grown in its bicycle friendliness quotient over the last few years? And what's currently in the works? Here to answer your questions are Cape Fear Cyclist Club Advocacy Chair Al Schrotel and Senior Transportation Planner with the Wilmington Urban Area MPO, Soraya Rashid. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call at 910-343-1138 or send us an email at coastline@whqr.org. And Stephanie is also writing in about what she calls one of the biggest problems with bicycling in Wilmington. She says many, many people riding bikes are not riding them properly or even legally. They ride in the wrong direction, either in bike lanes or traffic lanes. This is dangerous for both other cyclists riding in the correct direction and for cars trying to avoid hitting them. It also incites anger from drivers toward all cyclists, which is unhealthy and dangerous. She says, I've been yelled at and swerved at multiple times for riding my bike like a car, which is how cyclists are supposed to ride. She says, I also consistently see skateboarders and joggers using bike lanes and in the opposite direction, particularly around UNCW. Is there any effective way to enforce and or communicate and train cyclists to ride properly following traffic patterns? This is a huge problem for cycling safety in Wilmington. Al Schrotel, what would you say to Stephanie?
Well, reaching out to everybody out there, the motorists, the cyclists, the pedestrians, and making sure they understand that everybody has a right to the roads is very difficult to reach everybody. Soraya just mentioned a couple of minutes ago about Watch for Me NC, which is basically a safety education program. Which is funded and organized at the state level throughout the state. Wilmington, or the Cape Fear region, was chosen as kind of one of the test sites for that. And I think in part because we already had here a program called See, Share, Be Aware, a local program, which was, I think, started and funded by the WMPO. And so the Watch for Me superseded it. We hope that that information will be broadcast so broadly that more and more people will become aware of it. Another important element about Watch for Me, North Carolina, is the education of police officers. There is a specific element of that program to make sure that they understand so that they know, you know, the cyclist is doing something legal or the cyclist is doing something illegal, or and same, you know, conversely for the motorist.
And because bicycles are considered vehicles, they can get tickets, I would imagine, the same way.
I know cyclists who have been ticketed. Not me.
And I think we have a caller, Joanne from Wilmington. Welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Okay, I would like to ask a question. We don't have bicycle paths down Wrightsville Avenue, which is a dangerous, dangerous street. It's going to the college, and it's also going to the beach, and it has to stop traffic. And I feel bad for the cyclist, and I feel bad for the motorist. And also, if you chase them and put them on where the sidewalks are, that's where people walk, and that's not too good either. Mm-hmm. I'd just like to find out what we can do about that. Right. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Joanne. Soraya Rashid, Wrightsville Avenue. Is that a place that for now bicyclists should just avoid in general as an unsafe place to ride? And are there plans to?
There are plans, actually, along Wrightsville Avenue. I really appreciated that question from Joanne. There are plans to build bicycle lanes on portions of Wrightsville Avenue, along with a resurfacing project that will help people travel along Wrightsville Avenue. And also, there is a parallel route very close to Wrightsville Avenue along the River to Sea bikeway that cyclists can take that route. And it's a very easy, pleasurable ride. It's one of my favorite rides for a casual cyclist.
Is talking about Park Avenue.
Yes.
Right?
And Al Schrotel, that brings up this bike suitability map, I think. Can you tell us how this came about and where people can find it and what it will tell them?
Yes, it's been just published within the past month. There have been, of course, area bike maps before. But the unique thing about this one is that it coded the bike paths, the multiple use paths, and the roads for suitability from a inexperienced rider to a very experienced rider. There are four levels of suitability, in putting it together, and of course this was done largely by the WMPO Bike Ped Committee, done almost entirely by them, but working with cyclists from the Cape Fear Cyclists, we look very, very closely at and not saying, you know, that's all, you know, we're experienced cyclists, we can go anywhere. We tried to put our hat on as a average cyclist and a beginning cyclist. And so the map has been coded as such. It is already available at all the bike stores. It's at the library, I think. Where else is it?
New Hanover County Public Libraries?
Mm. Or that's correct.
Is it in Brunswick County, is it available?
It is available in Brunswick County and Pender County. And we're still in the process of distributing it to all the different locations. It's available in several local businesses as well. So we're trying to get it out there right now.
Is this something people purchase or is it free?
It is completely free. And right now this is our 1.0 version. So, and as Al mentioned, there's a great deal of work that went into it on the part of the Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee and the Cape Fear Cyclists. But we're looking for anything someone can say. You coded this road red and it should be orange or vice versa. So it's our 1.0 version and we're looking to make it even better in a year or so when we update it.
So people should be able to use that map then to figure out maybe the best commuter route to work or
absolutely,
a fun ride with the family.
Rachel, that's exactly how we looked at it. It does no good really just to code streets and paths and so on if they don't go anywhere. And so what we tried to do was say, okay, what are some of the destinations? This, obviously the university, but parks, schools and so on like that. Is there an inexperienced rider way of getting there? Is there an experienced rider way of getting there?
And we talked earlier about the Cape Fear Memorial Bridge and how right now there isn't really anything in the works for way cyclists to get from Brunswick to New Hanover County and back. What would you do, Al Schrotel?
To get over there?
Yes.
Of course, the Isabel Holmes Bridge, it can be ridden. But let me just say a word about bridges. The Tritihask Bridge going over the Intercoastal Waterway recently, of course, was redone. They put a whole new grid in there. Because of the nature of the metal grid there, it was very dangerous when it was wet, particularly, for cyclists to go over. Working with the local division of North Carolina Department of Transportation, they, specifically Chad Kimes, went out, got the money for, and they're putting in, I think it's a 3-foot or a 4-foot or a 5-foot wide pad across there in both directions to make it safe to go across that bridge. Hopefully that sort of thing can be done on things like the Isabel Holmes Bridge to make it even safer.
And we have an email from Christy. We're going to go to break in a couple of minutes, but let's just get this in. I, too, am a frustrated newbie to Wilmington who wants to cycle more. I think the initiatives being discussed are all in the right direction. Fundamentally, though, there needs to be a shift first in attitudes, education, and observance of rules. Drivers aren't thinking about cyclists, and cyclists still ride down the wrong direction on the streets. This parallels the general ignoring of pedestrian right-of-ways and crosswalks by most drivers and even our police. Keep up the efforts, Wilmington. You've got a long way to go. So that's someone seeing progress. You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. It's a conversation about cycling in the region with transportation planner Saraya Rashid and Cape Fear Cyclist Advocacy Chair Al Schrotel. We're about to go to a brief break, and we have one segment left for you to ask our guests a question or make a comment. Give us a call at 910-343-1138 or email us at coastline@whqr.org or tweet us at coastlinehqr. We'll take a short break, and when we come back, we'll hear from John from Leland. You're listening to Coastline. Welcome back to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn, and with me in the studio once again, Al Schrotel of the Cape Fear Cyclists and Saraya Rashid, Senior Transportation Planner with the Wilmington Urban Area Metropolitan Planning Organization. If you have a question about getting around on a bicycle in the region or sharing the road with those who do, give us a call at 910-343-1138 or send an email to coastline@whqr.org. You can also tweet us at coastlinehqr. And John from Leland, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Thank you for having me.
Sure.
A question. If we want to implement better habits and knowledge of the rules of the road for bicycling, I think we should continue an extension of what we learned in grade school about crosswalks. Teacher, you have penalties. You didn't get a good grade if you didn't listen or participate in the correct way. So we've got two big campuses where most of the bicycles generate from, the students riding bicycles. There are adults also, but I think if we start on campus with programs that there are penalties for not going the right way, riding on the sidewalk, parking in the wrong place, just like they give tickets for cars not in the right area or driving too fast on campus, why cannot we implement tickets or penalties for the students, and therefore, once they learn how to do this and even have classes, then it'll transpose into the public when they're on their bicycles off campus.
So, John, you're basically suggesting a bicycle safety training and sort of like driver's education for bicyclists.
Yes, on campus where it means most because they have bicycles there, plus it must be enforced in order to implement it correctly. I mean, if we have rules of the road, and just like you say, you want to educate the police department as to start giving tickets to these bicyclists that are doing things wrong, then it's going to transpose on campus because they're going to get fines or tickets for operating wrong there, and then that'll be ingrained in them when they get on the street.
Al Schrotel?
Cape Fear Cyclists has a very, very active bike safety training program. We have seven nationally certified bike safety instructors, and we would be happy to run such a program anywhere. We have a what we call basically a bicycling 101 course, which we run approximately every 3, 4 months, 5 months, something like that. It is free. If you want to find out about it, just go on our website, capefearcyclist.org. We conduct bike rodeos. We just did one down in conjunction with the Carolina Beach Police Department. I think approximately 130 kids went through it. But, of course, when the kids went through it, the parents went through that, too. So they picked it up. But, yeah, we go into the schools. Whenever we're asked, we'll go into the schools and we'll conduct that kind of training. But I think it's an excellent idea, John, that you're suggesting of getting it into the Cape Fear Community College and into UNCW. Great. We'd love to.
John, thanks so much for your call. And Nancy from Wilmington left a comment. She says the bike lanes seem to end with no proper way for bikes to merge into traffic lanes. As an example, the intersection between Princess Place, 17th, and Grace. Soraya Rashid, I see you taking notes on that. Is this something that you've been aware of?
We do have places where we've put bicycle lanes in where we have the room, and we know that there's a need to merge cyclists into traffic. And what we do in those situations is, instead of just not putting the facility in, we sign it according to MUTCD, which is our regulations for signing facilities. And we sign it so as to allow both all roadway users to understand that the cyclists will be merging.
Is it harder in areas like this? I mean, we're talking about the historic district in
Absolutely.
Wilmington, heavily residential, you know, only residential, I think.
It's very challenging. We deal with all kinds of things. And I remember one of the callers earlier had mentioned just being able to stripe a line. We could make that a bike lane. And really, when you look at it from an engineering perspective, you can't. It may be because when you get to an intersection or a driveway, that's not a safe situation to alert people to. It seems like it would be, but it's not. We have all kinds of challenges with the amount of area we have to work in terms of getting these facilities in, and in terms of drainage and moving utilities and whatnot. So retrofitting is much, much more difficult than building a facility in the first place, accommodating all users. So we try to squeeze things in where we can, as long as it's safe.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about cycling in the region, and we have Paul from Wilmington. Welcome to Coastline. You're on the air. Hello, Paul.
No, my name's Jeff.
Well, hi, Jeff. So
hi.
You're on the air. Welcome.
Okay. Hi. I had a question. I kind of had a two-part question. One was in response to the second to last caller in regards to penalties for cyclists. But the first question I had was, is there any effort in North Carolina to make interconnecting bikeways across the state so that cyclists can go from city to city without having to be impeded or put at risk? And also, too, in response to the previous caller's question in regards to penalties to cyclists, a lot of the roadways and intersections throughout Wilmington have no way of acknowledging when a cyclist is at a light and will not change unless there's a car on the pressure pads. So it makes it almost next to impossible for a cyclist to cross an intersection without going through a red light. Is there any effort to try and make it to where the intersection lights are timed more than rather depending upon pressure pads?
That's such an interesting point, Jeff. Soraya Rashid.
And I actually have a little a hack for you. As a cyclist, they're They're not, the lights aren't changed based on pressure pads. They're changed based on a magnetic sensor. So, and this doesn't work at every intersection, or it doesn't work based on the amount of metal you have in your bike on every intersection. And if it doesn't, shoot me an email and we can look at that intersection. But you'll notice on the ground at the light at the stop bar, there's a crossing of metal bars in the pavement. If you position your bike over those where the metal bars cross, you will have a really good chance of getting the light to change for you based on the amount of metal in your bike. So if you have a bike that doesn't have too much metal in it, then get something that does. But yeah.
Or carry around a metal pack. All right, Jeff, thank you so much for your call. We have an email from Brian who says, I live in Wilmington and cycle as often as I can. He actually says, I love in Wilmington. So I hope that's true, Brian. And I wanted your panel to comment on the River to Sea Trail, as it referred to. It just turns into a sidewalk when you cross Military Cutoff, and not, and quite a bad narrow one as you approach the bridge. You're also riding into oncoming traffic on the narrow strip of metal on the bridge. Extremely dangerous. River to Sea is a bit of a misnomer. Thank you for your response.
Of course, that what he is commenting on the metal section of the traffic. I just mentioned that NCDOT is taking action, and it's not going to happen until next year. You know, these things do take time, but they're going to put a 3 or 4 foot wide pad, non-skid pad, for cyclists to get across that bridge. With regard to the River to the Sea, of course, that's a very, very old bike pad route. And it is designed for both bicyclists and pedestrians. And so there are some limitations on it. But I would like to talk about one specific thing. They are putting up new – one of the big comments and complaints has been about those metal bollards along there, keeping cars out of there. That will really stop a cyclist. The Parks and Recreation is replacing those with knockdown plastic bollards. I happened to notice on the last River to the Sea ride that there was the base of a metal bollard. The bollard had been pulled out. That was sitting there at about 4 inches of metal sticking up into the trail. I contacted Amy Beatty at Wilmington Parks and Recreation. She got a crew out there and they pulled that thing out.
Wow, very responsive.
Mm-hmm.
We have an email. Bill says, the recently completed leg from Wade to Halliburton Parks is great. What is the timeline and status of the Carr-Randall intersection and the underpass for the Wrightsville Beach drawbridge? Soraya. And
well,
you have so many projects going on that we haven't even gotten to yet.
We do. We do have so many projects throughout the entire region. And honestly, in 5 years, you will see so much more infrastructure, not just in the city of Wilmington, but in Brunswick County. Leland is doing some awesome things. Carolina Beach is doing some awesome things. I need to name every single jurisdiction we have and say they're doing.
Pender County, too.
Yes, Pender County. They're all doing wonderful things, and there's a lot coming up in the future. To the projects that you just mentioned, the Heidi Trask drawbridge, and this also coincides with the previous caller, had said that we force you to go the wrong way on the Heidi Trask drawbridge, and we have a project that has been approved for construction, so it should start relatively soon, to construct a public walkway underneath the Heidi Trask drawbridge to allow you to really cross that intersection. I'll be underneath the bridge, and to position your bicycle on the right side of the bridge. The other project that person mentioned, I've forgotten it. I'm sorry.
That's okay. The other project he mentioned was the Carr-Randall intersection.
That will be approved with a roadway project, which is the widening of Carr Avenue. And this is really one of my favorite projects, actually, that's upcoming in the future, because Carr Avenue is a roadway that everyone really in our whole region knows and uses on a regular basis. It's really in the heart of our region, and we will be improving the entire length of Carr Avenue from Randall to Military, or I'm sorry, to Martin Luther King Parkway, with bicycle lanes, sidewalks, and crosswalks at those intersections. And that project is due to start construction in the spring.
And we had Dwayne on the line from Wilmington. We've lost him. I'm sorry. It took too long, Dwayne. We had a flurry of phone calls there. But he says, I'm a daily bicycle commuter. I cross the intersection of Oleander and Independence. There's a crosswalk there. Why does that crosswalk give pedestrians a symbol to walk at the time that the light allows you to go straight? Do you understand that question?
The crosswalk should allow you to walk when the similar movement for vehicles allows you to go straight. So that's what that light does, and it also times along with the turning movements that the light allows for. So that's how that crosswalk is timed.
One of the things that I wanted to get to, the North Carolina Department of Transportation sponsored a study in 2003, so we're looking back a few years. It focused on the northern Outer Banks, and the point of this study, you're both nodding your heads, it was looking at the payoff for municipalities, for regions in investing in bicycle and pedestrian infrastructure. And that study resulted, they reported a $60 million positive economic impact just for that area, the northern Outer Banks. Why does this kind of infrastructure affect a region's economy?
I'll take part of that. Anybody that has driven on Interstate 40 during the summer, and you see the tourists coming in or leaving the area, I would say that a high proportion of them have bicycles on the back. They come down there and they want the opportunity to get, I mean, of course, we've got a wonderful area to cycle. They want to be able to cycle, see the area, and to get some exercise at the same time. And as you improve those facilities, you will see more and more of that. Of course, the study you're talking about was up there in the Outer Banks, and I've been up there, and they have wonderful facilities. Of course, it's a much less congested area, too. Much easier to build those facilities.
Saraya Rashid.
Yeah, and there's really kind of two major reasons why there's great economic impact to building these types of facilities. The first, as Al mentioned, is that from the recreation tourism aspect, people want to be in a cool place where you can cycle around. But the second is related, but not directly. The types of areas where it's easy to bicycle or it's supported are areas that have higher quality of life. And this really attracts people to want to live in these types of regions. These are places where you know your neighbors. These are places where businesses and professionals want to invest their lives and their livelihoods.
And these days, we're also seeing industry move where it wants to move.
Exactly.
It's more about quality of place, isn't it?
Absolutely.
We have a comment. Noni in Wilmington says, I think those new bicycle maps should be distributed to the visitor center, the hub that's downtown near the Railroad Museum at 505 Nutt Street.
Great, we're on it.
10 minutes, right?
We have just a couple of minutes left in the show. We've talked so much today about bicycle safety. What is the number one issue that, if it was corrected, would make cycling safer around here that people could undertake from the perspective of both drivers and cyclists? What would you like to leave people with? If you could remember this one thing and it would make it safer, a safer cycling landscape, what would that be, Al Schrotel?
I think courtesy. Very, very simple. Recognize that both have rights, and to acknowledge those rights and to be courteous to each other.
Saraya Rashid?
My personal biggest thing, and this goes for cyclists, pedestrians, everyone, is if you are in a vehicle, a motorized vehicle, and you're turning, you're at an intersection, or you're using a driveway, look out for cyclists and pedestrians. Mm-hmm. Those are places where we have the most accidents. It's most critical.
That's this edition of Coastline. Thanks so much, Soraya Rashid of the City of Wilmington and Al Schrotel of Cape Fear Cyclists for joining us today. Thanks also to you, our listeners, and those of you who emailed in your comments. Join us next week for the first of our Coastline Candidate Forums, which will happen every Wednesday at noon until Election Day here on HQR News 91.3 FM. If you missed part of this show, we'll post it on our website at whqr.org later today. You can also download the podcast from iTunes. Thanks again for listening. I'm Rachel Lewis Hilburn for Coastline.